Well, good morning again, and it's so good to see all of you guys, and we are so glad to be worshiping with you this morning and exploring God's Word with you, and I'm trusting that we all have tilled up soil in our hearts, amen? Amen. And we're ready for the seed of the Word of God to be planted in our lives, amen? Amen. And take root and grow, amen? Yes, so that we are growing, thriving, flourishing men and women of God, walking in the power and the promises of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Look at that. I'll get all my amens in early, and then if I preach bad, I don't even need any because I've, I got like four amens on that message. It's all averages, Jim. It's averages. Yep. So we've been talking about wisdom, and Stephen did an awesome job talking about wisdom at the pace of Jesus, life at the pace of Jesus last week, and not being a slug and not being a track star, right? It's not a sprint. And so doing what God wants us to be doing at the pace that he wants us to be doing at, living out that fullness of the Jesus life. And the last time that I talked, we talked about the fear of the Lord. And so as we move on today into more of Proverbs, I found, as I was preparing for this week's message, I stumbled across a quote in a book. And often, you guys, if they don't have a site on the bottom, like George Johnson or whatever, so a lot of times those are my quotes. I just put them up there so that we can read them together. But sometimes, like this one, they don't have a name at the bottom. I'm not trying to plagiarize, and I don't want to annoy you guys and say that every single time, but I don't want to be guilty of being like, oh, hey, I was trying to make that look like that's my stuff. I read this church news kind of thing, and someone just got busted. A bunch of people just got really in trouble for lots of plagiarizing. All of a sudden, lots of messages from church websites disappeared because they were copying. Yep. Because there's so much pressure to have the next biggest, greatest sermon, right? And so I don't want you, and you guys want know that I want to walk in integrity for you. So I'm not trying to steal quotes and pretend that they're mine, but sometimes I can't find on the website, and so I would have to put the big name of the website or whatever. So sometimes they don't give a name. So sometimes I found this, and that's the best I can do. So if you have a question about anything and you read somewhere and you're like, hey, you asked me, and I will tell you if it was mine or if I copied that. I'm not trying to get credit for anything that I didn't come up with, which is not much to begin with. So there we go. That's my disclaimer. So this was a quote or a little article thing on the fear of the Lord, and I thought just as a wrap-up before we move on, this was really good. The fear of the Lord is openness to him. The fear of the Lord is eagerness to please him. The fear of the Lord is humility to be instructed by him. It's a willingness to turn from evil and to change. The fear of the Lord is a surrender to his will. The fear of the Lord is one way that we love him, by fearing and having this awe and respect for him. Fear of the Lord is meekly fitting in with one another. I liked that one. So this was all in one paragraph, and so I just split it out for you. And the fear of the Lord is, I love this one, the fear of the Lord is when we realize that I am not the measure of all things, I am being measured. Let that one just settle into your spirit. That's the fear of the Lord. I'm not God. That's part of the fear of the Lord, is that God is God. If you want to follow along, but we're actually going to be a couple different places in Proverbs today, but we're starting to get into Proverbs. We're digging in a little bit today. Super excited about this. I have been having so much enjoyment. So if nothing else, this message series is indulgent for me. I love the subject of wisdom, and I'm frustrated by how little of it I have. And so this is my own pursuit of more of wisdom, of finding what it is and how to walk in the ways of God. And so we're going to jump into Proverbs chapter 1 today. And so this is just starting at Proverbs chapter 1. In a previous message, we read that first line on Father's Day when we talked about the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David. He still had this connection to what his dad poured into his life, right? So we've read that. So now we're going to get into Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 4. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is, remember this one, you'll see this again later, kind of, what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. And we're going to stop there, and I'm going to ask you a question, and you'll have no problem answering this. And This is going to sound like I'm picking on them. I am not at all. I'm totally not at all. But we were in youth group one time, and we were doing a study on Proverbs. And I read this, and I asked him this next question. And we sat there for what felt like an eternity with answer after answer. And I never want to, you know, criticize, but they just didn't get there. And I think they were looking for something tougher than what it was or thought it was a trick question. But I said, okay, so for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction, for giving prudence, what is? What's for gaining wisdom and instruction? What is? What's for understanding words of insight? What's for receiving instruction? And all the answers were somewhat right, but there's a very simple answer that the text says here. So just let that settle in. There's something is here for gaining wisdom and for understanding words of insight and for receiving instruction. If you just let your eyes just kind of leak up towards the top again, the Proverbs of Solomon. So I don't want this to be like a trick question. It's not. It's really simple. But like we're looking for a more profound answer. But the Proverbs of Solomon are for gaining wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon are for understanding words of insight. So I wanted to connect those two dots because for a while I kind of missed that too. And certainly in our youth group. And when I kind of shared that, they're all like, oh, duh. Well, yeah, right. And then you can see it. But I don't know. You kind of are looking for this intense, you know, guru wisdom moment. But Solomon is writing this. He's saying, I'm writing these proverbs for you. And these sayings, these proverbs, they're for gaining wisdom. So I want you just, as we start today, I want you to know that if you lack any wisdom in your life, that one of the multiple vehicles for gaining wisdom of God is these Proverbs. And they're an access point into the revealed wisdom of God that Solomon wrote out for us. Okay, we'll get into more of that next week. But the Proverbs of Solomon are for gaining wisdom. They're for understanding words of insight. These Proverbs are for receiving instruction and prudent behavior. These Proverbs are for doing what is right and just and fair. And they're all talking about wisdom, okay? But they're for doing these, for giving prudence to those who are simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. These Proverbs are for that. So as we jump into the book of Proverbs, these Proverbs are for all of that stuff and much, much more. But if we're looking for this kind of things, if I'm looking for words of insight and being able to understand words of insight and doing what is right and just and fair, or for gaining wisdom. Look at someone, nod your head, say wisdom. Wisdom. For gaining wisdom. What is for gaining wisdom? Proverbs. Yes. Okay. See, this is for gaining wisdom. We're doing a series on wisdom. This is for gaining wisdom. And so what is for gaining wisdom? Proverbs. Okay. Now we're on the same page. So we finally made it to this point in the journey. After all of these weeks, we're actually going to try to at least a little bit define wisdom today. We're going to listen to what wisdom says. Wisdom talks in the book of Proverbs. So we're going to go to one of wisdom's speeches and see what she says. She's a lady. Okay. And we're going to see what Lady Wisdom says. We are you take that? Now there we go. Of course, someone said, if you didn't hear that on the video, of course, wisdom is a lady. You would think that wisdom would be a teenage boy or something, you know, but or certainly a seasoned gentleman. But no, wisdom's a lady, and so. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, for gaining wisdom. So what is wisdom? All right, it's been a number of weeks since we've had a Greek or Hebrew word, so here we go. Wisdom. This word wisdom here, and almost everywhere that you see the word wisdom, and there's a bunch of different English ways of spelling this, and I picked the most, the most sound audible. There's a very accurate word for what that means, but phonetically accurate, whatever. Except for it starts with a C in most spellings. But it's not pronounced chokma. This is not English. This is a Hebrew word. And so, any guys ever swallowed a bug? Or partially swallowed a bug? If you're listening to this on the radio, I so apologize, but that's what we're looking for here, the CH. I left the C off because our American minds go ch, and that's not what it is. It's an H with a little bit of schmutz in it. Not that it matters, but if you see this word in a different place, you're like, oh, that's not what Pastor, how, that's not how it was spelled when he said it. It must be a different word. No, I'm, like the English comparable version is usually spelled with a C-H, but we call it chokmah. I am not going to say it like that every time. I'm going to say the more English-sized version, chokmah. And so the word wisdom is chokmah. And that means, well, a couple different things. We're in this pursuit of wisdom. How do we get wisdom? What is wisdom? How do we walk in wisdom? Chokmah is an attribute of God, first and foremost. It's part of who God is. It's part of his character and nature. Okay, so at the very onset here, because sometimes we get this idea of wisdom as being like a really refined, good version of ourselves. Like if I could be super smart and stand and or sit in a certain way, you know, like, and just be like really focused or just, that's not it at all. True godly wisdom is a character of God. It's an attribute of God. God, there's even the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Remember that in the Word of God? That God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom is mentioned a couple times in the Bible. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. So it is an attribute of God. So it's not just this culmination of you being really good at trying to be really smart and then I'll be wise. No, it's grabbing a hold of something that God is. So I know it's still a little vague, but I want us to start with that definition. That wisdom isn't just really good thinking that I do. It is. It does translate into that. But wisdom, first and foremost, godly wisdom, spiritual wisdom, biblical wisdom is an attribute of God. And so then, also what it means is it really means, it's kind of hard to define, but it means applied knowledge or skill. And I want to show you that. So wisdom isn't just, it's not just intellectual, it's not just being really smart, or it's not just philosophical, where you can just understand riddles and whatever, you know, speak in weird guru terms, right? It is some of that. As you see, if you read the words of Jesus for about 8 minutes, you'd be like, okay, what did he say? Like, Jesus is the wisdom of God, the Bible says. So there is some of that. But in this Hebrew definition of the word, it's this applied. So it's not just intellectual, it's practical. Wisdom is very practical. And so we want to read a couple verses. We read these verses when we were talking about the Holy Spirit series that we were doing. Now look at this. Moses said to the people of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. He has filled him. They were getting ready to build the tabernacle, okay? And God has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill. Some of your versions, if you look up this verse, instead of skill, it says wisdom. They're the same word, chokmah. Skill. Skill. Look at someone say skill. Skill. Skill, like ability to, like, we've got a guy sitting, you guys can't see him on video, but sitting in church today that is incredible at carving. Skill. God, the Spirit of God has filled him. God has filled him with skill or wisdom, chokmah, with intelligence and knowledge and craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting stones for setting and carving wood. Oh, look at that, Ed. For work in every skilled craft. Chokmah, the same word, skill. It's not some guy sitting going, oh, I just have to think clearly, I'm going to carve now, right? It's this practical application. We're going to see in wisdom's speech some really cool stuff about what wisdom does and is. And this next verse in 1 Chronicles 28, this is, again, we've referenced David's speech to Solomon. This is, again, part of that speech to Solomon. Solomon's getting ready to build the temple. David got everything ready for the temple. David's all jazzed up, and he's getting ready to leave this earth. He's telling Solomon this, the divisions of the priests and Levites are ready for all the work of the temple of God, and every willing person, chokmah, in any craft, skilled, will help you in all the work. The officials and all the people will obey your every command. I'm really hoping that by the end of this message today, and you all better pray some big prayers for this to happen, that by the end of this message, that this makes a little more sense. Why skill could be translated wisdom. Like, why chokmah could be wisdom or skill. They seem for us, you guys don't raise your hands for this. Have you guys ever known a, just like, I pray that you wouldn't even think this of someone, but someone that you're just like, this guy, like, the elevator does not get quite to the ninth floor, right? But he knew how to punch leather or whatever. You know, like, he's really good at something. It's not necessarily what skill is meaning, but it's even as reflective of that. So it's saying that wisdom is not just an intellectual, but it certainly encompasses that realm. So, wow. Do you notice this word, willing? Remember what one of the Sundays was? It was King David's speech challenging Solomon, have a willing heart. And I find it really interesting that the word willing showed up, that every willing person that's wise in any craft. That's how you could translate that, and some English versions do. Every willing person that's wise in any craft will help you in all the work. This willingness, and when we dive into Proverbs, you're going to see right away, willingness, this closed-offedness. Remember we talked about generosity? This posture is anti-generosity. Well, this posture gets you the title of fool. Or, if you're not so lucky, mocker. This posture gets you the title simpleton. We're going to study all three of them. This posture, willing, gets you the title wise. It's this open-heartedness and not arrogant, not apathetic, not careless, but willing. Any willing person that's wise will help you in all the work. I love that. So we've seen that it is an attribute of God. It's applied knowledge. It's taking these creative God things and being able to work them out. And isn't that really what you think of wisdom? When someone, how do you know that someone's wise? Just because they said a bunch of words that you had to ponder, you're like, wow, they must be really wise. They said the cat falls at 9:13 on the full moon of the night of the young. You know, whatever. You know, like, that must mean something incredible. Like, it's not, that's not what wisdom, when you see someone and you're like, man, they are so wise. You said it yesterday, talking about someone in the story that you were telling, you're like, man, it's just so, I think you said smart, but wisdom. He just sees things that I don't see. Wisdom is this, it's application in life. Remember we said two or three weeks ago, wisdom is having that, this is your journey. All right, at the end of this thing, and I look back, right, anyone ever wish that you had hindsight on the beginning side? That's what wisdom does. Wisdom gives you hindsight on the front side. But it's practical, it's applicable, it's applied skill. If you sat on the, if you could go through the dumb things that you do, like people watching the video, you know, dumb things that we've done, the bad decisions, the things we didn't think through, the times we didn't walk in wisdom, and now we're kind of paying the penalty for that on the backside. And you look backwards and you're like, ugh, I wish I would have, you know, whatever. I wish I could know then what I know now. I wish I would have saw that. When wisdom gives you the back end view on the front side, if you just stand there and you're like, craft some great saying about it, you're still going to do the dumb stuff. Like, it's not just this intellectual pursuit is what wisdom is. It's applied. That's what I'm trying to get across. It's real life. Wisdom is real life smarts. It's not just common sense, but it looks a lot like common sense. But it's an attribute of God. How cool is that? That there's a kind of a common sense that is an attribute of God, which we're going to see in just a little bit. That makes a little more sense. So the next thing that it is, the last one that we're going to talk about today, is that it's woven into the fabric of creation. Wisdom is part of the DNA of what God did here. Really? I've never heard that before. Just hang on with me. Watch this. We're going to read a few Proverbs here. Proverbs 3:19-20 says this, "By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and the dew settles beneath the night sky." Wow. by wisdom and understanding and knowledge. All of those things that we take for granted, that dew happens, you know, sun rises and wheat grows and rains fall, that's wisdom. I don't think of that as wisdom. But if you think of a blank slate, God started with nothing. And in wisdom, he created ecosystems. He created ways of working. And you've got to remember, to the Lord, there's no physical and supernatural. To God, it's all natural. It's all just one, it's one realm. For him, it's natural, though, because it's not beyond his nature. It's natural for him. So everything of God, there's nothing supernatural about God. It's all natural for him. A miracle, a suspension in the laws of nature, or the normal operation of nature is all natural for him. It's all part of who he is and what he does. It's not a, one's not a big thing and one's not a big thing. It's all just normal operation for him. So remember that he started with this blank slate. So the creation of, oh, I don't know, let's say a few trillion pound ball of dirt that's hanging with molten core and water that, you know, just hanging in nowhere that moves around the sun and spins around, you know, that you can set a clock by it. Yeah, that's wisdom, right? See, we think of that as normal, natural things. God started with a blank slate and by wisdom created something that is so bizarre that we can't even wrap our minds around it. I thought of this the other day. This is not a new thought, but it was a new thought for me. It was one of those, you guys ever have one of those, hey, did you ever think of that? Think of this. This was not in my notes, but this was my aha moment from the other day. My clock and my calendar match. Remember old school watches? Anyone ever have the old school watch? It has the little spin around dial, and then in the side of it, it's got a little white, usually, spinner thing. And what is on the spinner things? It's 1 through 31. So what is the spinner thing telling me? What day? Yep. And what is the hour hands telling me? Time, the hours, right? So time and date, they're measured with two different things. Time, think about it. Like this was mind-blowing for me. Time is measured by how the earth spins around. Right? 24-hour day. It spins around. So if the earth sat completely still, but just spun, that's all it did. Just spun. That would be time. But we'd be exactly the same position as the sun. One side of the earth, it doesn't matter. We would never have seasons. We would never have seasons. But the earth is also revolving around the sun. And that is where we get our months from. The accuracy of billions of miles of travel around the sun is so accurate that I can set the spin of the earth and the movement around the sun. One of those is months, and one of this is the time of the day. That those two can, that 300, because it wouldn't matter. You could have the earth spin around instead of 365 times in a year, it could spin around 5,000 or two. But you'd still have the same amount of time around the sun. Your months would stay the same. You guys don't care, and you're not tracking with me. I have never seen so many blank stares in my life. Trust me, when you get this, you're going to be like, no, I got what he said. I get it now. We don't set the hours of our hand by how we travel around the sun. That's a whole different thing. We could travel around the sun or not travel around the sun. It doesn't matter. I mean, it would matter for how life worked. But as far as measuring months, that's how we measure months. Time is measured by the spin. Those are different. One's going around a sun. One's going in a circle. But they're so accurate that we can say there's so many days in a year. What do days measure? They measure how many 24-hour cycles there are. So there's so many of these in one of these. I tried. I don't know. I just don't know. By his understanding, he created the heavens. By his lack of understanding, he tried to explain it through me. By my lack of understanding, I mean not his. I just thought that was phenomenal, that those two measurements could be so accurate that you could measure part of one by another one, that the spin is within 10 billionths of a second, and a year is in the same, like it stays the same. That's crazy. I'm just moving on. How countless are you? This is Psalm 104. How countless are your works, Lord? In, say it with me, wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. I love science. I love this stuff. So you know I got to throw a few of these in. You guys ever seen that before? Oh, man, that's cool. That's a diatom. You guys ever talk about diatoms when you're out doing chores? Diatom. That's a diatom. It's a one-celled little creature. The biggest ones are about half the width of a human hair. Okay, so the biggest, so we're talking about in wisdom, God, you've made your creatures. We're talking about wisdom. It's a practical application of an attribute of God, of this knowing and seeing and of how the world works, of intelligence, but also skill. So in Bible says, in wisdom, let me back up. In wisdom, you have made them all. In this skill, chokmah, in chokmah, you have made all the creatures of the earth. In chokmah, you have made these creatures. These are, the biggest ones are half the size of a human hair. And the small ones are a lot smaller than that. And these are little single-celled creatures, and they make these shells around them. And I forget how wide the openings are on them. They are theorizing that I think 40% of our oxygen on the earth comes from these guys. And they're theorizing that those holes are the right size to be at the right frequency to filter out the harmful sunlight and to bring in the right level of sunlight for the oxygen synthesis or whatever it is to work. Whoa. See, they like that one a lot better than the sun and the spin. 13 seconds, y'all are like, dude, that's great. I just need pictures. We need pictures. That's... So sorry. I'll bring more pictures next time. This one's a little got schmutz on it. I don't know what's on there, but it is so incredible. I zoomed in on this one on this next slide. Look at that. Look at that intricacy. And this is, you know, I don't know if this is one of the bigger ones or not, but at maximum, you know, the whole thing is less than half the width of a human hair. Look at the design and the creativity and the amazement. And this is just a diatom. This is just a skeleton of a diatom, a little creature. And there's trillions of creatures, probably billions for sure, of different kinds of creatures that each one would blow our mind in chokmah, in this skill, this understanding of applied knowledge, this skill. God, you've made these. And so you start to see that there's this revelation of God's wisdom all throughout the earth. Now, it's tainted by sin. Okay, we got to always remember that. But yet, it's still this revelation that God has. So Proverbs 8 is wisdom speech. I'm going to go through this real quick, but we're going to jump in about halfway into Proverbs chapter 8. I would encourage you to read the whole thing, but wisdom is just talking, and it's what we call wisdom personified, the personification, where wisdom is, and so that we could understand, they didn't have pictures to show us, so wisdom said, presented as a lady, so that we could relate to some of the characteristics of it. Because just thinking of wisdom as just wisdom, it's hard for us to grasp. So wisdom said, I wisdom, you know, I'm a lady. So it says this, we're starting at Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 12. I wisdom dwell together, I hang out, I dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. Man, we could dive deep into all of that section right there, but we're just going to keep moving. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride. Now, this is wisdom. Anytime you see the word I, it's going to be wisdom talking. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. All right, we could just stop here. We're not going to, unfortunately. Sad for you. Yay for me. We're going to keep going, but we could just stop here and just hang out and say, well, how do I get wisdom? How do I get Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Say to understanding, you are my kinsman. That's one of my prayers that I've prayed for years. It's one of the challenges in Proverbs. Search for it as hidden treasure. Seek for it as lost gold. You know, look for wisdom. Wait daily at my doors and at my doorsteps. Watch for wisdom. Pursue me. Seek me as hidden treasure. Right? This whole idea of wisdom. Anyone ever know anyone that got a big check? And you're like, hey, you're my buddy, right? Right? That's what it's saying here. Like, we want to get to know wisdom. We want to, hey, you're my friend, right? And that's even what the Proverbs are challenging us. I just quoted you a bunch of those. We don't have them up on the screen, but to say to wisdom that you're my friend, that you're my kinsman, you're close to me. I want to dwell with you. And wisdom is saying, I hate pride and arrogance. A few weeks, 3 weeks ago, I think, one of the things that that David challenged Solomon with is to walk humbly. To walk humbly and humility. Remember we said humility is the fear of the Lord. Humility, that's a proverb. Humility is the fear of the Lord. And wisdom says, I hate pride and arrogance. I hate evil behavior and perverse speech. So we can't continue to walk in arrogance. So that's more rehashing of what we've already talked about. But as we go on with that speech, just keep that in mind. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. Who's mine? Wisdom. Wisdom is talking here. I have insight. Who has insight? Wisdom does. So wisdom is offering all of this to us. It's making a speech to see if anyone will bite. And that's what we're going to keep finding out as we go through this. Wisdom is making a speech to see if there's any takers. Wisdom is pouring out a speech, fighting with the noise of the world, and folly is the biggest voice that she's fighting against. The adulteress is the other voice. But she's making a speech, and she's saying, anyone want to come to my camp? Anyone? Anyone? And today, the Church of God is, I'm yearning that the Church of God will go, me, sign me up. It's like, okay, tell me what to do. Right? You ever been at that glorious moment where there's just been a great response to a volunteer option or something, you know, and so everyone shows up and you're like, all right, what do we do? And that's just, I love that moment. Everyone's like, we're here. We don't know what to do. We're clueless, right? But we're ready to serve. Like, oh, what are we doing? Picking up streets? Okay, we'll do that. You know, whatever it is. Like, we showed up. I went to your little corner here because you said, hey, who wants to come over here? I showed up. And church, I'm yearning that the church will say, me, sign me up. Now look at this. So I said it's woven into the fabric of the creation. Listen to this. By me, kings reign, and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern, and nobles, all who rule on earth. Now I don't know if you know much about the kingdoms that were in place, and I'm not just talking about Israel. I'm talking about, last line, all who rule on earth. Who are we talking about here? All who rule on earth, okay? A lot of them, very few of them, feared God. Have you ever heard of the Old Testament? Read through that a little bit. See how many God-fearing following. Sometimes the other countries would get saved, you know, just reading in, where are we at now, Ezra?
Well, yeah.
Because I'm faster than you. You know, so we're reading about King Cyrus, you know, an ungodly king that God used to do the work of the Lord. He's like, yeah, you guys go rebuild it. The Lord is for you. You know, heathen king. I know, that's a whole nother message. But that's what you see here. So these ungodly kings, anytime, now that, remember at the very beginning I said, Proverbs chapter 1, that I do what is good and just and fair, I think is what it said or whatever. By me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. This next slide says what I'm trying to say. Wherever people are making good or just or wise decision, they are tapping into chokmah. It's woven in the fabric of our creation. It's evident for us to see. Few find it, and there are certain paths to get there. But there's this blessing of God in keeping creation going that we see. We call it common grace is the theological term, and it's mostly derived from statements like Jesus said, "The rain falls on the just and the unjust." The rain is part of chokmah. It's part of the wisdom of God. It's part of the blessing of God. Well, what did these unjust people, what did these heathens do, these non-Christians, these not followers of God, and yet it rains there. It's the goodness of God being given to those who aren't even serving the Lord. And so when you see, this is wisdom talking. Wisdom is saying anytime you see just laws and fair things happening, like they might be lost as a goose in the fog. I mean, they don't know Jesus from a hole in the ground, right? And yet if they're governing in that capacity, we sense that that's good. And why is that? Well, I don't even think there is a God. Well, but I feel like this is good. It's because they're tapping into chokmah that God has woven into his creation. And when you start to understand that, it makes a little more sense why chokmah can be translated skill, because it's this outworking of all these glory. Is there design in nature? You ever seen design in nature? You ever looked at a flower or a butterfly's wing or a bird or how a chunky bumblebee can fly? Like, there's just this beautiful design in creation. You're seeing chokmah, the skill of God, this outworking of beauty and wisdom. Now, keep going on wisdom speech real quick here. The Lord brought me forth. This is wisdom talking. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before the deeds of old, this is talking about the when. Say when. This is talking about when wisdom showed up. So wisdom is saying, hey, man, before before God did these old deeds, these old works, I was formed long ages ago at the very beginning. Where do we find those words? Genesis 1, in the beginning. Wisdom says, at the very beginning, when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills, when I was given birth, before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth. Wisdom is saying, I had a part to play in all of this. God brought me forth. You guys ever need a tool to work on a tool? To work on a thing, right? Sometimes you need to, like for woodworkers, one of your main tools is your woodworking bench. And one of the rites of passage is you build your own woodworking bench so that you can build woodworking things, right? So it's the tool, like wisdom is saying, I'm the tool that God used to do the amazing things. So God brought wisdom forth first as part of his nature, but produced that on the earth, and then we saw the rest. So now look at this next section. I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon. I want you to get a feel for the kind of the tone of what's happening here. When he marked out the horizons on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters could not overstep its command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. I'm going to flip to the next slide. It's going to be these same verses, but it will clarify what I'm trying to say here. Look at these words that I've highlighted. This is what's happening in this. So wisdom told us when. Now wisdom is telling us what. Set, marked out, established, fixed securely, created a boundary, marked out. So in this chaos, the Bible says that in the beginning, God forms the heaven and the earth was formless and void. There was chaos there, and we see evidence of that. And we see our job as part of God's job as controlling chaos and bringing it into order. And wisdom is calling out here saying, I was there when God stepped into chaos and marked out and set boundaries. Boundaries, this was a latecomer, so I don't have this up here, but boundaries and pathways. That's what wisdom does. It sets boundaries and pathways, the fountains of the deep. Pathways. Gave the boundary, but yet let the waters have a pathway, but also put a boundary in. When you walk in wisdom, you walk in the boundaries and pathways of God. Wisdom gives you access to the boundaries and the pathways of God. Don't do this. If you do this, you'll not live. If you do this, live like this, walk like this, go forth like this, you'll live. Wisdom, pathway to life. It's a pathway to life. It's a boundary from death. Don't go over here. My son, don't go down to the adulterous house. Her mouth is like a grave, and those that go down to it do not return. It's a boundary. Wisdom says, don't go there because your life will not go well. It's a boundary. But go on this path. Treat people this way. Here's what life should look like. Here's how we should talk. Here's how we should think. Here's what our heart should do. Go on this path. Oh, don't go over here. Don't go on this boundary either. Don't go cross that. So you see this carving out, marking out. So agree or disagree, there's chaos out there. Agree or disagree that your mind left to its own devices on your own without any external input ends up in chaos. Oh my, quickly. That's why we need people around us that can say, doo, 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 that's not good thinking, right? We need help. Sometimes someone just said, the Holy Spirit often sounds like my wife. True story. True story. And so there's this invitation to walk in a healthy path, and wisdom shows us that. This is a quote by Ray Ortlund. I quote him a lot in this series because I'm reading a really expensive book called Proverbs by Ray Ortlund, and he's got just some nuggets of gold in there. He says this, "The truth is, reality is not made to order. We cannot make it up as we go. We were born," here's the fabric of humanity, right? This is what Ray Ortlund is saying as well. "We are born into a pre-existing order that God created long ago. We need to know what that order is and how it works in relationships, in finances, in sex, in every area of life, so that we can stop shooting ourselves in the foot." How's that for theological language? If we know, we can adjust, and then we can thrive. One more quote here. "Wisdom is not an impersonal force." This is from the Bible Project. "It's an attribute of God. Therefore, any true pursuit of chokmah must begin with a fear of the Lord. True wisdom learns the," here it is, "boundary lines of good and evil that are set by God and chooses to live by them and obey them." Wisdom is helping us to answer the question that we all have. You just might not know that you have it. Here's the two questions that all of you have. All of your issues, all of your frustrations, all of your questions are wrapped up in these two questions in some way or form. There may be other questions, but they contain these two as well. What kind of world am I living in, and how do I do well in it? That's the role of wisdom, is help us to navigate that. Help us to navigate, how do I live in this life? How do I do well in this life? How do I not crash and burn? How do I not, as Ray says, shoot myself in the foot? So we're going to end there today. Wisdom finishes out that with a bunch of blessings. Read the end of chapter 8. Wisdom is like, you're blessed if you do this. And that's where we got the tagline for this pathway to life is, those who find me find life. Those who find me find life. You find life if you find wisdom. It's not just about education. It's not just knowledge. It's finding how God designed you to live and then walking in that. It's boundaries and pathways. It's finding out what God told you not to do and then not being dumb enough to do it, right? It's to listen. It's not this. It's not the fool. It's not the mocker. It's not the simpleton. It's listening, it's open arms, it's embracing wisdom's ways. And these proverbs are chock full of ways that we can walk that out. What kind of world am I living in? What is this place? How do I make sense of all this? And how do I thrive in it? That's the question that's the core questions that wisdom is answering. It's not, how do I live eternally, or what, you know, that's Jesus. He's answering that question. But Jesus is the wisdom of God. So we're going to end right now. Amen. Lord, I just pray for the blessing of God on these people. I pray that we would say yes to wisdom. Pray that we would be among those who say, I want to jump on this journey. I want to find out those things that are going to cause me to walk on the path of life and not get off into the ditches and not crash and burn. We just pray for an embracing of wisdom today. Help us to follow that path. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.